Hey, Teresa.
Hi.
Welcome to season 4, episode 9 of
the... Are we at 9 now?
Yes, Disaster okay. Digital Podcast.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It's been...
I almost forget how to do this.
A long minute, and the listeners might not know the difference because we've had a backlog, and so we've been able to release new content every 2 weeks on Sundays now, if you haven't noticed. Sundays at exactly some time.
At a time, at some point between midnight and the other midnight.
Yes. And I didn't do the intro thing on purpose. I was running yesterday, and I was listening to
Rilo Kiley, you mean?
Yes, Rilo Kiley. And I can't remember the name of the song, but I wanted to read off like the first two sentences, and I just never looked it up.
Oh.
But, you know, imagine that it's something deep, and it has to do with disappearing ground and...
Is it the one that has "I drive and close my eyes in Michigan" as the second line?
No, it's a different one.
I know many of their songs.
The name, and I wouldn't be say if it was true.
Is it off the album you have?
Yeah.
Okay. We can be many things.
We can revisit it.
It can pick up another time. It's fine.
But anyway, I was going to do that instead, but, you know, not every time do we have to do a long introduction, right?
I think at this point it's unnecessary every time, but sometimes it's fun to slip it in there. Yeah.
That's what she said. So it's been like 3-4 weeks?
Yeah.
We've had a lot of shit go on in our lives.
Yeah.
Some good. Some bad.
Have I had good?
Yeah.
Has there been good?
You absolutely had good.
Is there good?
And I intend to start...
I've forgotten what that shit is.
I intend to start this podcast with good things.
Okay.
Because it will inevitably go down the trail that is a shithole.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't help that bad shit happens to both of us.
It's just the world, man.
I have a question.
Is it
because I don't remember.
Okay.
Had we gone to assist with Have a Heart Day the last time we podcasted, or had that not happened yet?
No. Which leads us into our good things session.
I helped.
So, kinda. We have at least two good things that I know that we've done since the last recording. One being Have a Heart.
We did have hearts.
We did. So, what did we do?
And our pictures are on Facebook for all of time, having hearts.
You want to recap what the thing was?
Okay. So, I think we mentioned this briefly in the previous episode. We went to the Lansing Food Bank to help. Well, we thought we were going to help sort food, but it turns out what we ended up actually doing that day was helping to box up frozen food to be distributed to various centers who give out food in the community. I'm actually not sure where everything went after that. I guess I should have asked. So Marty and I ended up on box duty, where he was folding up boxes and taping them, and then I was labeling them to hand off to people to fill them full of food, to weigh them, to put them on pallets, to be put on trucks. So Brianna and Josh did some of the packing while we were kind of doing the maintenance kind of things. We were the behind-the-scenes people.
Well, the way that I look at it is, so we were with a group of people who are also doing the Have Heart Day. I mean, there's also some students doing like volunteer time for credits, I think.
Right.
And so the people who work there, these guys who were, I would call them ambivalent to our existence, very neutral.
Yeah. Well, I think they're used to people kind of being in and out of there all the time.
The guys didn't give particularly great instruction.
Or any, for that matter.
They didn't give particularly poor instruction. It was just, I don't know, kind of every man for themselves, or woman for themselves.
Yeah.
And so what I did, and I think maybe what you did too, people were just kind of like standing there.
Yeah, we're like, well, we need boxes that need labels. Yeah. I guess we'll do that.
There's a thing over there that needs to be done. I don't really want to sit there and stand around, so I'm just going to go do that thing. And if something else comes up, I'll
do that thing.
But I didn't actually put any food into boxes. I just made boxes and attached labels.
I wrote the same phrase over and over and over again for like an hour and a half. Miscellaneous frozen and the date. over and over and over again.
Did you have dreams about miscellaneous frozen?
Well, I was telling the other girl who was labeling with me, I'm like, I swear to God, I'm going to be saying this phrase all day long, miscellaneous fruits, miscellaneous frozen, miscellaneous frozen, miscellaneous frozen, like all day.
We actually, afterwards, we went to a conference where they gave us a name tag, and Teresa wrote miscellaneous frozen.
That's my name now, just so you know. It's no longer Teresa. I know. Answer to
or Dark Angel Daria.
Or Dark Angel Daria, or whatever else you want to call me.
Miscellaneousfrozen@gmail.com. I bet that's taken.
Probably. I always get very upset when Dark Angel Daria is taken, but usually what I find out is that I took it years ago and just forgot. That happens a lot.
So, the things I liked about it, I liked the general... I liked that there was a defined start and stop time.
That was rad.
Right?
Did
it wasn't
like,
hey, everybody stay here for... We still have to finish this, you know, before you can go.
Yeah.
But there was another... like. For this food bank, there's people coming in all day.
Yeah, like every 2 hours.
Every
much.
Day. Yeah. So they had, I guess we could have stayed over, but they had other people coming in to do it. Another cool thing was just talking to, I think the other guy who was doing boxes with me, because he'd been there a lot.
Okay.
And he was telling me about how like all the food comes from, 95% of it comes from stores.
Mm.
And
yeah,
so,
I kind of half listened to you guys when I could actually hear you over the boxes and shit.
Yeah, so we'd have Brianna and Josh coming over and be like, hey, look at this weird thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And it would just be like a fucking chocolate log of marshmallow or something.
Right.
And we're like, that's a really weird thing to donate. And then after talking to the guy, I'm like, that makes sense, because how many people go to the store to buy a fucking chocolate marshmallow frozen log?
Yeah, not many. Hence, they end up there.
Right. And then there's like pie crusts and broken pie crusts. So all the stores, when they get past that sell-by date, they donate them and they get to write off, a significant portion, which is cool that there's that kind of incentive, and also cool that, just that the process exists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an interesting insight to things I hadn't thought about, because I just didn't know how that kind of thing worked. So it was cool.
How did you feel?
Meeting other Harto people was always nice.
Yeah. Did you like the leader guy?
I didn't talk to him a whole lot, so, it seemed okay to me.
Yeah.
I
didn't really talk to him either, but he seemed like a genuine, he enjoyed what he was doing for...
Definitely.
Little or no reason other than that it's a good thing to do. Maybe I'm off the mark, but that was my read.
Yeah, I don't know. I do need to figure out what's going on our calendar to see if we will be able to do this month's gatherings. I have a feeling this month will be one where people will sit around and bullshit and talk more, because it's making cards for kids.
Right, which is cool.
Yeah, which is cool, but this other part of me goes, socializing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a problem with the socializing part, because the Have a Heart thing, just to kind of clarify, they do it monthly.
Mm-hmm.
So the leader guy, I want to quote Adam Sandler.
Gabe.
I don't care if the leader guy thinks I'm not in the fucking cult. But he comes up with these different ideas, or he gets ideas from some player, and then he submits them for approval to the Have a Heart people, and then he sets them up. So there was the food bank thing this past month, and then this month it's making kids for cards for kids, and then he just posted something recently saying that he has the next few
next
months
two
set
are figured
up.
Out too.
And I really like the idea of making cards for kids, but I'm on the fence. There's just a lot going on this month, and it's not all necessarily good.
I second that notion. And I'm feeling, especially with all of the concerts and things that I have going on, I'm like, I might just need a break that weekend.
yeah I read something the other day that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley got me into using Flipboard, and I'd had it before, but I had never really used it. But I actually set it up, and I have a bunch of cool topics. But one of the mindfulness things, they have different articles, and there's a quote from, who was it? It is Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
He said that people often overestimate what they can accomplish in a day, and always underestimate what they can accomplish in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
that's accurate.
Yeah, that's true for so much, because we're, especially in the things that we've been doing, it's like, okay, how can I squeeze the last drop of productivity into this mm-hmm. day, but really, like...
Especially when we're at work.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to get this done. Oh, fuck, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not. 8 to 10 hours at work.
Yeah. Especially once you put the human factor in there, the fact that we work with other people who want to talk.
Right. And it's like, you can't guarantee anything. And if you work your ass off to squeeze every last drop out of every day, I don't know about you, but by the weekend,
I'm toast.
Yeah,
I got
cashed,
nothing. Like, I have nothing for my family. I have nothing for Josh. I'm like, I'm sorry. I can't talk to you for three days. I need to relax.
And
recharge.
All that weekend time. It's like...
It's gone, like...
Right. And you could have been at least moderately productive, which would have probably at least equaled whatever it is that you were accomplishing during the week.
Yep.
I don't know how I got on that topic.
You were talking about a thing you read.
You want to know a good thing?
Yes.
We gave blood on Tuesday.
We did. And I didn't feel like shit the day after this time. So I've learned...
Air five.
Do not give blood right after you've had a cold, because you feel like shit. If you're healthy, do it.
It was fun.
Learned a thing.
It was much smoother last time we went. I think we briefly talked about it on a podcast, but it was chaos.
Yeah,
we had to wait for
like
45 minutes. I had a 4 o'clock appointment and I got there 10 minutes early and I didn't wait at all. I just walked right in.
Yep. And I was actually a little bit late, but I didn't wait that long before I was on a table and, you know, I was home by what, like 5:10-ish?
Yeah. And we actually had tea.
Yep.
And
you had tea, I had water.
We discussed life.
Yes. And things.
Do you want to know that other good thing?
Yes.
I'm full of good things.
I'm glad you are, because I'm over here trying to think of literally one good thing that we weren't both... I have a good thing.
Oh,
I have a great thing. I have a fucking rad as fuck thing.
See, now it's going to make my thing seem stupid.
Well, tell your thing. And then
you basically just whipped out a huge cock next to my small cock.
Okay.
And nobody's going to want to play with a small cock.
My thing is really not that great. It was a great experience for me, but it probably is not really like a good thing to anyone else.
Okay, let's
except
go.
Except Katie.
Me. Oh, yeah. I know what you're going to say, kind of.
Yeah. I saw Hedwig and the Angry Inch last Saturday. It was fucking amazing. Wait, no, Saturday prior to that. Whatever fucking Saturday it was. I saw a thing, and it was great.
It was everything you wanted it to be.
It was everything I wanted it to be. It was everything I needed. It was very cathartic being home, air quotes home, in Detroit. At the Fisher Theater, which I haven't been to in many, many years, and they're restoring it right now, so there's like scaffolding and stuff up everywhere, but it's still really beautiful. It was great. It was so good. So good. I love that show so much.
They have a lot of like really awesome theaters in Detroit.
Do.
I mean, all over Michigan.
They've been there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, and Katie and I were talking about this as we were driving around too, that it's sad how the areas like around all of those Detroit landmarks kind of break down around them, but I love that they're still there. A lot of them are gone, but the ones that are still there, I try to frequent whenever I can if there's something going on there.
What was the theater that we went to see Lindsay Sterling?
The Fox Theater.
That was fun.
Fox is awesome. And there's a small theater across the street from there that we passed on the way to the parking structure called City Theater. That's just a little theater there, too. That's where I saw Evil Dead the Musical.
Ooh.
Which we should totally do this year, because it's fucking fun.
And actually, in a week or two?
2 weeks, yeah.
We're going to see
Jay and Silent Bob
get old?
Yep. That's in Grand Rapids, though.
Well, maybe it'll still be at a cool vintage-type theater.
It's a brand new theater. I don't think it's vintage
just
at all.
Just lie to me.
But I'll lie to you. It's been there for at least 100 years. It's fucking rad.
That's
shit.
Awesome. Is it haunted?
Totally.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah. What was your good thing?
My good thing is actually podcast-related.
Hmm.
We had a new listener this week.
Booyah! I haven't listened this the past week, so that episode will feel all new to me.
It's probably for the better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, the episode was good.
Not our best.
Well, it was not your best.
That's okay.
I mean, you were emotional to start.
Yeah.
But it's funny, because listening to it from my perspective, like, everything seems normal, because I know the backstory of, like, what happened before we recorded.
Oh, yeah, true.
And if you don't know that, and you don't know our relationship, you would think, like, oh my God, like, how is he staying so calm and cool. She's basically like angry. You know, I think she hates him. Not that you said anything outwardly like that, but just the tone of your voice, like you were very...
Yeah, my voice doesn't hide a whole lot.
Yeah. So it's a good episode. I think it would probably be really entertaining for people who have listened to most of the season,
yeah,
as well as someone who possibly hasn't listened to any, like Brad from work.
Ah.
He and I got into a conversation about just general life changes and things. He was questioning me on my recycling habits.
Right.
And so I was giving him the basic overview about, like, hey, no, it's not going to change the world, but this is within my sphere of influence.
And so I'm doing it.
Right. I'm trying to do better in that sphere of influence and widen it where I can and shrink it where I can as well in some of the bad areas. But
see,
it was just cool because we were talking about it and I shot him a link the next day and said, hey, we have this thing if you want to check it out.
Yeah.
It talks about all of our life changes and ideas and just random rambling. And I think he listened to that, okay, that short episode.
Well, first, that's a terrible introduction to me as a human being, probably. But I generally always give bad introductions to myself as a human being because I'm ever changing.
It's all right.
You know that. You know me for fucking ever, so it's fine.
It was a special episode, for sure. Not bad at all. So okay. I don't want you to feel like you can't listen to it because definitely should.
I definitely will. I enjoy listening back more on what you say than what I say. I tend to ignore myself quite a bit, but...
I have to do the same thing because if I don't, then I get upset with myself. About, like, well, why didn't you bring this up? Why didn't you say that?
Or why didn't you say this word correctly, you fucking idiot? That's what I do a lot.
Well, I'm not quite so harsh on myself.
I'm fucking terrible with myself. I do it at work, too. I call myself an idiot almost every single day.
Do you, like, lash yourself?
No. I think that would be frowned upon.
Have, like, a whip or a horse whip.
I'm not performing, you know, self-flagellation in my office or anything, but...
But you could.
The voice is doing the thing today. I don't know. I have, like, no intonation today. I'm just kind of...
I feel like it's normal-ish.
Maybe.
I feel normal. I feel good vibes.
Yeah. Because that's just pretty much where I sit if I have, you know, no major emotion tied behind what I'm saying. There's just the general...
Right. That kind of goes with how our conversations are, though.
True.
Even when we're not recording, it's like, you'll get excited about something, and you're like,
and then
I farted. And then other times you'll be like, I farted. Just like that.
That's true.
It's all...
Oh, that's my ankle. You hear that shit?
Yeah.
I am falling apart. I am old as fuck.
You know, in 10 years, you're going to look back on when you were young.
I know.
And reminisce.
I don't know. We'll see.
That reminds me of a picture that Brianna showed me. It was like of a girl, and the caption is, I wish I was as fat as I was the last time that I thought that I was fat. That was funny.
Yeah. See, that doesn't work for people like me. I've been literally the same level of fat my whole life. Like, there is no previously fat. It's like, no, I've been fat my whole goddamn life. Oh my God, that reminds me. I should show you this video. Did I ever show you my kindergarten graduation after I converted it?
I don't think we watched any of those videos
together.
Oh my
God, I need to have you watch that before I go home, or at least watch bits of it, because I swear to God, I am the most little rubbly, tumbly, little Winnie the Pooh, like, human at 6 years old. It's fucking adorable. So cute. So cute.
When you've grown up together, like we have, I just imagine, like, a littler body with the same
Seriously,
face.
Seriously, that's exactly how I am. That's how I describe, like, you know, Lydia saw those pictures on the table, and she goes... You look exactly the same. I'm like, I'm aware of that. I have not changed at all. I look exactly the same. The only thing that changes is my fucking hair and my teeth.
That's a brilliant observation. I want you to observe how you got this fucking black eye.
I'm like, no, nothing changes. If you look at all the pictures of grade school, it's like my hair is different and that's about it. And then eventually I get glasses. And then I get different glasses. And my hair changes. And that's the extent of it. It's kind of lame.
I can't argue, but I don't want to agree. So we'll just
cool.
leave it at that.
Whatever. But no, that video, while being a rather emotional thing to watch in general, even more so now, it's kind of fun at the same time. Because my brother's so fucking cute. He's so cute.
I remember when he was cute.
He still is pretty cute. He's got a beard now.
He has a beard?
He's bearded. Looks more like dad. He did not appreciate my telling him that.
I can't imagine so.
It just kind of came out. And then by the time it was out, it was too late. And I literally did one of these like, I'm sorry, I just said that. Please don't be mad at me. I still love you. And he just rolled his eyes at me like, God damn it, Teresa.
Could like, you be any more of a bitch?
I'm sorry. I could, actually. I chose not to.
I was trying to be Chandler. I didn't really
I guess you can be the Chandler if I can't be the Chandler.
You want to know another good thing?
I do.
We're like 20 minutes and rolling and we're still on good things. Like people...
20 minutes of good things? That's a new fucking record for us.
This is quite possibly the best thing in some people's opinion that's happened in 5, 10... I'm not the right person to throw this number out there, but in many, many years. Do you know what it is?
I haven't been negative in the whole 20 minutes.
No.
But I totally have.
It's not... Don't make this about you.
Okay, good.
Every time we're talking on the podcast, it all circles back around to you.
You're doing the thing I don't like again.
I'm like, I always look super young. I have great orgasms. Some of us don't have those things.
I said that?
Some of us get old. Some of us... It's neither here nor there, Teresa.
I'm sorry. I apologize for wanting to turn something into a self-deprecating joke every time you say a thing. I will try better not to do that.
Zelda.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Zelda has released. And let me tell you, there's actually a good reason to talk about this topic. Because, you know, I'm in our quest for season 4 and... on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a better person, whether it's through volunteering, right? Giving blood, eating differently, minimizing, recycling. Like I have a pyramid that I drew. I don't know that they actually mean anything other than they're just different topics of, I'm just writing in the
air. I thought
it
was literally on your wall. I'm looking on your wall. Like where did you write a thing?
But you know, you have like pyramids and things stack up and they're supposed to, you know, lead to the next.
Yeah.
I just, so
it's your own version of hierarchy of needs.
But it's not based on anything other than like what popped in my head. Like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do this. Not that I did any of them in any order.
Right.
But one of the things that my goal is minimizing, like buying less stuff and having less things. But this has been my first real, real challenge. Like, because realistically, I want a Switch. I do.
I don't blame you.
I want Zelda, and I want to play that game. Now, minimizing doesn't mean preventing myself from doing something that I would get enjoyment from.
Right.
But what it does mean is being like honest with myself in the things that I have. And now, would I get use out of a Switch? I'm sure, yes. I mean, I could justify it until the end of the day if you let me, because I want it. And right. If you want something, you will justify the shit out of it. I mean, it could go upstairs. It could be the one console next to the Wii where I could just pick it up and play when Brianna's watching TV. How cool would that be?
It's pretty cool.
But then you turn around, and if I'm honest with myself, it doesn't change. I honestly want it. And I honestly would use it.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly would have fun. But I have so many unplayed things that would also bring me a lot of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Like the last expansion of StarCraft has been out for a year and I purchased it and I haven't played it. Like that would bring me so much joy. And the same kind of level as playing Zelda in that would. So why can't you just... play that game and then play what you have, like play the things that you've purchased and are awesome.
You're talking to the wrong girl about that.
No, this is I'm basically having a monologue.
Good, because I am no help to you in this regard.
Right. And I'm not really asking for help. I'm just saying, like, these are the conversations I have with myself. And it's not the difference between, like, you purchase a lot of, like, Steam games,
right?
Oh, my
God. I have fuckloads of Steam games.
And not to say that those Steam games aren't good, but I wouldn't say that they're on par. Like, oh, I have these 50 Steam games that I purchased. I need to play those before I play Zelda. Like, Zelda is an epic game. And just like StarCraft is an epic game or whatever, you know.
Tomb Raider.
Final Fantasy.
Which is still, oh, that was fun, too.
Right? Games that have, not only are they fun, but they reach into your history.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and they're generally also longer form games than what you find on Steam.
Right. And I also have Mass Effect coming out, which...
Andromeda comes out Tuesday.
Yeah, like the whole reason that I wanted an Xbox One, the mm-hmm. whole reason I hold on to the Xbox One
yeah.
is for that
you're
fucking
like
game.
Fucking Mass Effect.
Just wait one more fucking week, play Mass Effect, which you're going to get a lot of play hours mm-hmm. on, and then visit the Switch. Like, I'm not even saying that I'm never going to get it, but
right.
be fucking... realistic here.
Yeah, be practical about it.
You cannot play Mass Effect and Zelda at the same time. You don't even...
There's not enough hours in a day to even do that.
No, how do you choose?
You would have to take a week off of work like I did. I took a week off of work, and what did I do? I played a video game. That is what I did.
It's like being addicted to heroin and meth at the same time. What good could possibly come of that?
Yeah.
Heroin alone, sure. Meth alone...
okay.
Yeah, but not at the same time.
Not at the same time. Bad plan.
I don't know. I kind of went off on a rant there.
No, it's okay. Well, and that's one of the things I'm constantly kicking myself for and thinking about is how many gaming systems as well as games between Josh and I we have in our house at any given moment. And it's not that neither one of us play. We both play, but we both have video game ADD. So what happens is we have a Steam library between the two of us that's well over 200 games at this point. We have, you know, games for every gaming system from the NES up, either physically or in a ROM. I mean, you could come into our house, and this is where it drives me nuts when the kid goes, she's bored. I'm like, you literally live in a video game museum. How the fuck are you bored? Like, seriously, go pick something and play it. They're all awesome. Trust us. We've played at least 10 minutes of them.
Take our word for
it. Yeah. But, and it's one of those things, too, where the Steam games, it's so easy because there's nothing physical staring at you that look how much shit you have, like it is with the Xbox games and the Xbox One games and the Wii games and now the Switch games. And, like, they just sit there on a shelf looking at me going, you bought us. You haven't played any of us. Why did you even buy us?
Help me.
Play us, Teresa. Play us. You know, it's terrible. I've bought all these games for the Wii U. Haven't played them. I bought a 3DS. Haven't played a single game all the way through for it yet. And yet...
You want to hear something terrible?
I haven't.
Josh was telling me, like, when I was over there having tea with you guys, he says, well, you don't have to buy the Switch, just borrow the Wii U and buy Zelda for that. And in my head, I can completely justify not doing that. Like, it would make sense for me to borrow your system and then play Zelda, but I'm like,
yeah.
It wouldn't be quite the same experience, would it?
No. Well, and honestly, when he's done with it, you could borrow the Switch because there's nothing else coming out for it for months that either one of us want to play, and I'm not going to play Zelda for a while. Not, I'm not helping. I'm making it worse. Let me not make it worse.
No, you're making it. You're doing just fine.
I'm trying.
And I don't know if this is because you're like my best friend, but you guys having all of those systems and games makes so much sense to me because
that's our love.
You're both gamers, right? Brianna has played some games, right? She played some WoW, she played some Halo and stuff, but she's not a gamer. So any game system that I have, whether it's my computer, Xbox One, the Switch, whatever it's going to be, I know who it's for.
Yeah.
And if I'm not playing it, it's not getting played.
Right.
For you guys, you can, I mean, like, if you haven't played a system in a while, you can almost guarantee that Josh has.
Yeah.
So there's some use and value.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing is, like, we each have our own 3DSs, so those are our own, like, separate things, but... Even between he and I, like, I'm more Xbox, he's more PlayStation. So, like, I bought the Xbox One, he bought the PlayStation 4. He's really big into Nintendo. I am too, but, you know, most of our Nintendo systems, I think he's bought... I bought the Wii U, I think. I can't remember.
It's
a trade-off. Like, if there's a system coming out or a game coming out, guaranteed, probably one of us is going to buy it, we'll both play it, and then it sits on a shelf. Or, usually what actually happens is... I will buy it with every intention of playing it. Josh will play it, or I'll start it, and then I'll find some other new thing that someone else is playing on Twitch and go, ooh, that looks cute. I want to play that. And then I'll go buy that on Steam, play it for 10 minutes until they play another new thing. And I'm like, oh, that looks cute too. And then the cycle continues.
Question.
And I never finish anything. Yes.
Would you say that you spend more time playing games or watching people play games?
These days I'm a pretty solid mix, half and half, because a lot of times, like when Dodger's on, I'll just throw her on and I'll actually dick around playing something while she's playing. Either the same thing or something different, or I'll be knitting while she's playing something. So I kind of half and half it. I've been trying a lot harder to actually play games, which is why I was playing Slay Away Camp the other day, that thing I Snapchatted you.
It looked cool.
It's fun. I think it's a cute little puzzle game. It's fun.
I get a lot of enjoyment out of watching people play games. It's kind of weird, but it's not even necessarily an internet type watching, which I do enjoy.
No, you've been watching me play video games like forever.
I do enjoy Twitch, but there's something about like hanging out with your friends and watching them play games too, because you get the experience, but you can also kind of daydream out occasionally, mm-hmm. and then come back and then the game's still being played.
Right. Well, you had a lot of fun watching us play Until Dawn.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that game's fun as fuck to play anyway, and it has a lot of replayability because you have to try to keep people alive, and then you still don't keep them alive because you miss one fucking shot.
You know, it's funny, and if somebody ever asked me about that game, I would be like, yeah, that game's really fun. And they would assume maybe that I've actually played it.
When you hadn't. No, at all. You just watched me.
You're like, do you want to play? I'm like, no.
Not at all. I just want to watch you play. It's cool.
No. Thank you, though.
Yeah. I think there's been times I've actually gotten to hand you a controller to play something. You're like, no. You play. I'll watch. And I'm like, you're so weird. You voyeur.
I think it has a lot to do with spacing out. Like, in my everyday life, you know, at work, you have to focus. And when we're playing things, there's also a level of focus. So if you're focusing, then I can not.
True.
So.
True. And games really do require a lot of your fucking focus these days. Especially a lot of the puzzle games that I'll be playing. And I'm like, I will not see things. I'm walking around totally fucking lost. And then it finally jumps out at me. I'm like, I'm dumb. Someone else would have got this in 5 seconds. I'm glad I'm not playing this on Twitch because I'd be getting yelled at by everybody in chat.
There's something to be said about that, though, because I mean, puzzle games exercise the brain.
Yeah. Those are my favorite.
I don't play enough of them. That's part of the reason, one of the reasons I tell myself that I want to play Zelda. I mean, there's many reasons, but I don't have many puzzle games. Like, I'm more of like a Hearthstone, like heads-up cards game, or a real-time strategy in StarCraft, or hack and slash, which is Diablo. Right. Yes, these are all Blizzard games. I understand that.
We know. You're a Blizzard fan. It's cool.
Yeah. And Mass Effect storyline, not really puzzle related. It's just kind of like a shoot 'em up.
Yeah.
Get to the story, sleep with people. And pretty graphics. Really, I'm really a fan of pretty graphics and sound scores.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of what drew me into several games that I've played over the past year. Child of Light, Ori and the Blind Forest, that fucking 80s one, Oxenfree. All of those, it was the soundtrack that pulled me in. Transistor, same thing. Of course, that also has a redhead protagonist, and that also pulls me in. That's very easy. But all of them. I bought all the soundtracks for them because they're awesome.
So we're at 33 minutes of random good things and a lot of video game chat.
That's about normal.
Do you want to call intermission and then we'll visit
the shitty things?
The not so good things?
That sounds like a good plan. Because then people can leave us if they don't want to. No, you should totally stick around because usually the bad shit is where we do our best conversations.
If you have any kids listening, you may want to put headphones on.
I hope you did that already because we say fuck a lot.
Balls.
Titties.
Balls.
You gotta say something other than balls.
What? What's more epic than balls?
I mean, balls is pretty great, but titties.
Ball. Shit. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back with something other than balls. And that was my stomach.
That was your tongue. Are you hungry?
I am. All right, we'll be back.
Okay. We'll be right back.
And we're back from the break.
Yes, back.
In this segment, we're going to be talking about all of the things that have been not so good for the past 3/4 weeks. I'm gonna lead, and I don't want to go into a deep discussion about this.
No, please do. Feel free.
But this didn't happen in the last 3 or 4 weeks, but I feel like it's pretty shitty. Mm-hmm. Trump is somehow the president of the United States.
Still.
Republicans have control of everything.
Still.
So that's not good.
No, because one majority ruling everything generally turns out like shit. We need more gray area in the world, but we've talked about that before.
I actually have a journal entry festering in my brain that wants to come into existence, and it's about binary world. And
I like it.
How amusing it is to me that, like, we created a computer language that's binary, and it's essentially, like, on, off, black, white.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to... If I talk too much about it, then I won't write about it.
No, you should write it. Although, since you brought up writing, I should have included this in the good realm, and I didn't even think about it until just now, but I, prior to some shitty things happening, had resigned myself to writing in my blog every day in March. I haven't actually done that. I've been doing pretty well. I have written most every day. I missed yesterday somehow, so I'll have to write something when I get home tonight for today. But I've been doing that.
Yay!
Yay! Yay for trying to actually write shit, even if it's just sharing a video.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I had a question for you in regards to that.
Okay.
Because of the nature of Disaster Digital.
Yes.
And everything being connected. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this in terms of the guy from work, because he started listening to the podcast, and I was thinking, like, wait a second, is there a link from the podcast page back to the homepage? And there's not.
No.
But
I mean, it's on the same domain. It's
right.
Not that hard.
You go to disasterdigital.com, and then you're there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, like, man, he has access to all of my journals. Is that something that I want? I mean, it's too late now. We're talking about it. So even if he didn't know before, he's a smart guy. He probably knew before.
Yeah.
But, and I'm thinking, I don't write anything that I don't want to share. Just because I don't share it doesn't mean that I'm anti that. So
right.
I guess I wanted to know your opinion. Like, if I was to get online today on Facebook and post something, say, hey, check out this new episode. And then, you know, people go to it and it's all in the same domain, the same world. How would you feel about that in regards to, like, the things that you've written in your journal?
Since most of our mutual friends are already well aware of my life story, at least in pieces, I don't think it would bother me that much. I don't know that it would bother me that much anymore. I'm kind of at the point where my fucks to give are very low.
So you'd be okay with it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I write some more personal things, especially lately, but it's not anything that I mean, honestly, I even thought about sharing the, and I don't know if you even read this one, the kind of eulogy-esque one that I did. Actually, it wasn't even that. It was a more obituary-esque one that I had done for Grams, just because I get personally frustrated by what most obituaries end up being for old ladies. I thought about sharing that on Facebook with just a link. And just to say, like, eh, fuck it. Let's see what happens. But I haven't, and I didn't, but
meh. That's kind of like the story of all of our things.
Like, it's out there. If somebody finds it, all right, whatever. I'm not going to be like, no, I didn't write that. I'm like, no, I wrote it. I don't fucking care. Like, there you go. Good for you for finding out a little teeny personal well of my life. Good job.
Yeah. And if you've
golf claps for you.
If you've known me for over 30 years and this is a shock to you,
you didn't know me.
That's really not my problem.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I keep kind of going to something I held in my phone that was posted on either Shirley's or Garbage's pages, that other people thinking I'm weird is not my problem. So, I mean, at this point, I mean, I'm always saying embrace your weird. I'm very much at the point where I'm like, I really don't fucking care anymore. It's like, nope.
I need to keep all these catchphrases. Embrace your weird.
I do.
Get out of your own way.
I literally keep them in a folder on my phone so that I can refer to them when I have moments where I need a little bit of push. I have a whole folder.
Nice. That's kind of what I use my quote-unquote secret Instagram for.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not really my problem if they think I'm weird.
I was telling Brad from work, kind of like maybe the second or third line after I shared our podcast with him, I was like, you know, I do a lot of things online. I create a lot of content, but I don't share any of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at how active I am on Twitter most of the time, and most people have no fucking clue that I even have it.
And it's not that we don't like our content. It's just not our personalities to share it. Like, it took me over a year and a half of, you know, talking with this guy from work to be like, okay, I will share this thing that I put on the public internet with you.
Yeah. We're strange how we vet people in that way when we're perfectly okay with it being open on Moss.
So where was I going with this?
I'm not entirely sure, but I'm with you for the ride.
I think I've lost it. Can you fill the air while I think?
Not unless you want me to talk about my dead grandmother.
Oh, wait, we'll get to that. Remind me.
I'm a little focused on that now.
Something that Ashley and I are going to do, which I kind of feel like I should get your permission for, but not really, because it doesn't really matter. But so we've been having a problem with content, because she and I share a lot of content with each other, like kind of the same stuff that you and I share, like pictures, recipes, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so we were thinking, like she sends me things in all different ways. Like, she'll text it to me, right. She'll email it to me, she'll put it on my Facebook.
We do that a lot too.
And then she'll be like, hey, do you remember reading this thing? And I'm like,
where did you send that to me at? When did you send it? I'm never gonna fucking find it.
Yeah. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna create a Facebook group. I've already created it, actually.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be for sharing that kind of stuff. So
that's a good idea.
More like all the stuff, recipes, workout stuff, tiny home stuff, minimalization stuff, like all of the good things. It's going to be like our fantasy football
positivity
group, except
land.
Yeah, positivity land. So I was thinking, so we're going to call it Disaster Digital because I feel like all of the good things are coming from here. At least this is where they started.
It is the origination point.
And if we make it a public group that anyone can see, because it's not going to be any, like, we're not going to talk about anything secret, then there's people are going to see the name of the group, which then could be linked back. I mean, it is linked back to, we're the only thing. I created a page, Facebook/Disaster Digital, just because I thought that I wanted it. I didn't do anything with it, but just, it's
like, it's there because reasons.
Well, because it's our name. If somebody came in and grabbed our name, fuck you.
Yeah.
I will sit on this thing and not use it before I let you fucking use it.
This is true.
Faceless, nameless person.
It's pretty much the same way I am with Dark Angel Daria. I'll be like, ooh, there's a new thing out. Getting my fucking name. I may never use you, but I'm getting my fucking name.
So yeah, if you're interested, I can invite you to the group, but that's, I mean, it's going to be,
I give no promises of my activity level.
And it's all about reference. It's a single place for us to put stuff, and we can look back on it and like, oh, this is shit that I didn't get to 2 weeks ago. I'm going to watch Ashley's video or whatever.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I keep meaning to share with you some new YouTubers I have found who do vegan cooking that had recipes that looked really good. And I keep forgetting to be like, just send that shit to Marty. And then I don't. I just like it and then go, I'll look at it later. And then I forget it existed.
So I will definitely add you to the group.
Okay.
And you can, like, worry-free, post shit in there. And maybe it'll get looked at and maybe it won't. How's that?
I'm cool with
that. How's that for commitment?
That's a commitment I can handle.
Do or do not. Or
there
don't.
There is no try.
That's it.
Or don't.
That's what it should be. Or don't.
Do or do not. Or just don't. Or just fuck it.
Just don't. But yeah, bad stuff. Do you want to go?
I guess. I mean, I already kind of said it, but I lost my last and favorite grandparent 2 Thursdays ago. I honestly feel like that was such a long time coming. I wish it had been more the way she wanted it, which I have written about kind of sort of at length, I guess. So it has, as harsh as it may sound, it has made it easier to deal with, knowing that she was ready and has been ready for a very long time. But part of me still feels like an asshole for being like, this lady who was a pillar of strength in my life and like really pushed me to be who I am. It's easier to deal with her being dead than it is to deal with my friend being dead. But that's kind of true. So there's that. So there was the inevitable familial goings on for her viewing and burial. Although she's not really buried, she's in a wall vault, but yeah.
I think that it's completely possible and actually reality that you become closer to non-family members in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that you should feel guilty about that.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I mean, and this is going to sound bad, but there's only, I'm not going to name names because this is, you know, this is going to make me sound like a real dick.
It's fine. It's
there's only one blood family member that I would be as upset if they passed as I would be if you passed away. Like that's the level of the relationship. And not to say anything else.
I have some left and yeah, continue your thought.
I'm just not to say anything. Not that I don't love those other family members, but the level of intimacy.
Yeah. Closeness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't speak to, you could tell me that you have a dozen people who are on the same level as me, and that's fine because I don't. But the natures of families and relationships, like Brianna's family, I mean, they're like my friends in a lot of ways. They're not a Teresa friend, right? Because they would slit my throat to save Brianna, hands down, and I respect that.
I know where I stand in this tree. I get it.
Right? But there's certain people in this world that I know we're going to be okay. No matter, as long as we're alive and we, you know, we're going to be okay. I know you wouldn't slit anybody's throat for me, but you wouldn't slit my throat either. So.
Would I though?
This is for the official police record.
Well, we're fucked then. No, I mean, it's still oddly difficult. Like I hadn't anticipated. Yeah, because getting so used to going to the nursing home to see her at least once a month, like I was talking to my aunt, my most favorite aunt. I already told her, I said, you're not allowed to die because I talked to her like once a week at least. You know, she's like my other mom. And actually, so was grandma. They were my three moms. I'm going to start fucking crying. Fuck you.
No, let it out. It's good.
So, I mean, that part of it's hard because like she and I were talking and I'm going, all I keep thinking about is all the stories I want to tell Graham when we see her on Saturday. And then I remember you were there when she took her last fucking breath, dummy. She's dead. You're not going to get to tell her that. And it's not like she'd remember it anyway, because most of the time she didn't even know who I was. But I don't know. She was just such a little spitfire of a human being. And she's the one in my family who, no matter how fucking off the wall I was at that point in time, she was the one who always said, be who you are, fuck everybody else. And I fucking miss her for that, because she's the one who was totally fine with me wearing black lipstick in her house, and she was totally fine with me wearing fucking combat boots everywhere, and she wanted me to be, you know, don't be like the girls of my generation, make sure you can take care of yourself, you know, don't let a man run your life, blah, 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 blah. And like, she's exactly why I am who I am. It's her. She's the one who always would make me laugh so damn hard when I would get in a fight with my dad and I'd call her crying and she'd go, don't listen to my son, you know he's full of fucking shit. Like I miss her so much. I miss her being her so much. So that's what's been going on for me.
Did you at what point in your life did you realize the impact she has on you?
Probably in my 20s, because I used to drive down there just to visit with her and my Aunt Lori quite a bit. If I would, most of the time she was weird about this too. She didn't like people just popping in to see her because she didn't think she was worth the time. Sound familiar?
I know that. I know that person.
Like, I know that human. So if I was going down there for a dentist appointment, it was totally acceptable to come by because I had a dentist appointment. But if I just wanted to show up on a Saturday, oh no, you have things to do. You go live your life. You don't waste your time coming to see an old lady. Like, no, but I like seeing you even though you are an old lady, because you're a funny old lady. You're great. So yeah. She's definitely responsible for a lot of my personality quirks. That is for sure. Between her and Aunt Lori and my mom, I am a mishmash of all three of them.
So can I ask you, I don't know if this is going to
be... You know you can. Why are you even asking me that question?
It's a preface for a potentially difficult question.
Ugh, a goodie.
And it's similar to one that I wrote in my journal.
Okay.
And kind of what we were just talking about, but...
Ah, okay. Me sees where you're leading this, methinks.
Yeah. I'd like to know your feelings on, like, the compare and contrast with the experience of losing her, your grandma, someone you love, in the way that you did, compared to...
Krause
in the way that you lost him.
With her, there's a level of, like, personal preparation, because I had time with her where, like, she and I actually sat and talked about it quite a bit, because she's been saying since she was pretty much like 87, I'm ready to die. Like, she would just...
How old was she when she passed?
95. She just turned 95.
Which is fucking amazing.
I mean, she lived the longest of any of my grandparents. And aside from the Alzheimer's and...
Which kicked in
at about 90.
Which really.
Which is still pretty fucking good. Because honest to God, like, she was one that my aunt and my dad, and actually my uncle too, would all go to and say, hey, mom, do you remember this? And she'd remember it better than they would. I mean, she was that spry still. And I mean, she remembered all kinds of things. So that was... I think it was harder watching her die slowly than it was to lose Aaron quickly. That much I can definitely say. But it's a little bit easier to, you know, overall cope with it, because I talk to her so much about it. And, like, we'd sit there and be morbid as fuck with each other about it. Like, we'd talk about her casket and what she wanted for her funeral and, like, all of that, because nobody else wanted to let her do that. Whereas I was like, she's fucking old. I'm not going to tell an old lady she's not allowed to want to pick. Like, why would I do that? That's dumb. She's old. Like, she is going to die eventually. Like, I'm not going to tell her. Everybody else would go, mom, don't talk like that. And I'd be like, oh, you can say whatever you want. I don't care. Like, that was just how our relationship was. So, I mean, there was some more time to kind of prep, but it still wasn't. It's a memory I'm glad I have, but I also wish I didn't at the same time. Because, I mean, she's someone, and I'll show you in the video I have, like, I remember her as my puffy grandma, like, the other chubby human in my life, who was always like, eh, whatever, you're just big bone, you'll grow out of it. And then when I was, like, you know, 25, I'm like, I never grew out of it, you lied to me. Like, that was just our humor. And, you know, she weighed 75 pounds when she died. She didn't look like her. She was like a skeleton. You know, like, I could have picked her up, like, with one fucking arm. Like, she was down to nothing. And literally watching her waste away was the hardest part. Because every time I went to see her, she was less and less her. Which is the same thing I'm going through with my parents to an extent. And it's like, oh my God, can I just not do this? Like, everybody just, like, blink real quick and die. Because then I don't have to watch you do it. There's no winning here.
Yeah, and that's the cycle of life. Like, you describing that, I'm not going to pretend that I was as close with my grandpa as you with your grandma, because my grandpa passed when I was, like, 11.
Yeah.
So we're talking, like, 23 years ago. And I just remember, because I love my grandpa, he's awesome. And I remember watching him, like, fade. Like, he was this really strong old man.
Yep.
And then he was in the hospital, and then he was in a health home, whatever, care thing.
Yeah.
And he went from, like, being the toughest person you could ever imagine to being a skeleton lying in a bed. And just, yep. I know that there's nothing you can do to make this better, but I feel like there's a lot of modern medicine, and this stems back from that experience, that
right.
is completely unnecessary, and it's actually less ethical than whatever it is that you're trying to convince yourself it's trying to accomplish.
Yeah. I mean, part of me, and this is why I've always been a proponent for assisted suicide. Like, honest to God, if she had come to me at like 89 and been like, I know something's not right, I don't want to die like this, I would have done everything in my power to make sure she didn't have to. Because that exactly how she died was exactly what she didn't want. She didn't want to be in a home. She didn't want to not know who she was. She wanted to be in her own bed, surrounded by her kids, in her own fucking house, with all her own facilities. And she didn't get that. That bothers me so much. Because it just feels like such a disrespectful way to die. And that was something, the whole time she was in the nursing home, I kept thinking about too, is how shitty we are to our elderly and what's going on right now with all these changes coming with the, you know, not Affordable Care Act is just dicking the elderly. And I'm like, why are we so shitty to our elderly? Why, just like we are to kids? Like, it just, it boggles my fucking mind.
And to that, the way that they're explaining the conversation is so, it makes me so mad, because on NPR, they were talking to the different people on the different ends of the Affordable Care Act, like the people who are good with it and the people who hate it. And like they were interviewing young people who were upset about like, oh, well, I have to get coverage and I don't need it and I shouldn't have to spend money. I'm a healthy 20 something year old. And
good for you. You ain't going to have it for long.
Well, that's, I'm thinking to myself, you know how quickly your tune would change if you were diagnosed with cancer tomorrow? You would be talking about how the government should be footing your bill because you are an American, and that's,
and you have
a right.
All these good years left to give. La, la, la,
like,
la.
How can anyone?
Life is life. It doesn't matter how old. It really, like, it's just. Health is health.
It comes and it goes.
Yeah, which, I mean, and that was another thing that was brought starkly to mind. I'm going to override this whole end of this podcast. It's your fucking fault you asked me.
No, I think this is one of the best ones ever.
And my cousin Kelly, my cousin Mike's wife, who was in the military for many years, he was an airborne ranger. She has had and survived multiple rounds of chemo and radiation for breast cancer. She had a mastectomy 2 years ago, pretty recently. But she went into cardiac arrest not that long ago and now has to wear a defibrillator vest 24/7 for at least 6 months because the healthcare that's given to Michael fucking sucks. They will not put a permanent device in her heart until she's worn this defibrillator vest for 6 months. Whereas if they had private insurance not provided by the government because he was in the military, she could have had it in a week. So, I mean, watching, you know, and talking to my aunt all those years about how Medicare was really shitty for my grandma and for her now that she's retired, and how, you know, things for Mike and Kelly have been shit all those times she was in chemo while he was in fucking Iraq. You know, I'm going like, why we're treating these people who have done things for us so fucking shitty.
It's,
you know, and then she feels, and then Kelly's feeling bad because, like, if she moves certain ways, an alarm will go off if a lead moves, and then, like, we'd be standing there talking to people at Graham's visitation, and, like, her thing would start beeping, and she'd have to go into the other room and try to make it stop, and she's all embarrassed about it, and, like, why do we put people through this when we don't have to? Like, I would much rather pay a little bit more in taxes or what the fuck ever, knowing that, you know, someone like Kelly gets the medical care she needs, or some little kid, like, Jess's little sister's daughter who has the same disorder that she does, getting her defibrillator device put in as early as possible. Like, I would much rather my money go to that than not. Like, I don't understand people's selfishness and not wanting to help other people survive, and those always tend to end up being the same people who are adamantly pro-life, and that always boggles my mind. And I'm going to stop now, or I'm going to get on a soapbox I'm not going to get off of.
I can help you. I can help you stop.
It frustrates me endlessly.
And you're not alone, because I and many other people are there with you. And honestly, there are a lot of Christian Republican people who agree with you to a point, as well. at least I've heard of them speaking.
I agree with that too. I'm not saying everyone is shit. It's
no,
just,
I know.
And I'm not terrible generalizations because I'm upset.
I'm not trying to say that you were saying that at all, but there is a disconnect between the reason why I said that is the Republican Party, which basically wants to make the government smaller in very specific ways and then larger in other very specific ways. And so what we're left with is feeling like I understand that capitalism, right, is based on profit, but there are certain pieces that shouldn't be left for profit, such as healthcare. And yeah, it's not, there's no perfect system when you don't want to pay money, right? If you are anti-taxes, anti-government, then we're never going to have a perfect healthcare system. But what I can say is that we need it. We need it from the beginning to the end. We need people to, like, in our healthcare, why do public healthcare companies offer rebates and funds based mm-hmm. on healthy activity?
Right.
Because it saves them money.
It saves them money.
Right? So yeah. We need to address it from the first level, right? Not just chemo. Paying for chemo is not effective for anybody. You have to address the cancer before it happens and talk seriously about the potential causes for said cancer mm-hmm. and address those. Like, so all of that affects the life cycle and the chain of money, we'll call it, flowing around us. And that's why it's such an uncomfortable conversation for a lot of people, because in order to prevent diseases, you have to change the economy, and changing the economy as well as, you know, paying for research and healthcare, like those two things would be outrageously expensive. But then again, you think about all the money that we're spending in other places. Uh-huh. It's only outrageously expensive if you try to spend money on everything at the same time.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's kind of a basic budgeting conversation too, which, right? Which is one of those things that always boggles my mind. I'm going, do you all just put your heads up your asses? Is that what happens when you're on Capitol Hill? Because that's certainly what seems to be happening to me.
What happens is politicians,
you know, la 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 la, give me more money, la 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 la, thanks for the money.
Right. Politicians are, this is a broad generalization, but a lot of them are at an eighth grade economics level, and they have lobbyists who are basically masters and doctorates at economics and persuasion. So it's
all connected, and that's the thing people don't see either.
No.
Yeah.
It's literally like a kid in a classroom, and the kid is the person who's representing us, and the teacher is the person who's getting paid a lot of money to persuade their
agenda. Their vote and agenda. Yeah. That makes me think of conversations held with my civics teacher in high school. She was rad. Miss Libby Brown.
What did you guys talk about?
We would pretty much everything you decided. You know, you gotta remember who's really feeding the person's mouth who's on the stand. You know, and she showed us a cartoon once. It was, you know, I don't even remember what politician it was. It essentially had a lobbyist arm up their ass like a puppet. You know, that's the kind of stuff she would share with us. She was great.
I don't know. I feel there's a lot of times when I feel dejected in regards to all of that. And then I try to bring it back down into my sphere, my personal sphere, more than my spheres of influence, because my sphere of influence, let's be honest, is not very large.
Like, I don't know. I'm pretty big. You knew I couldn't resist.
So, like, and we're getting close to the end of the podcast, but I can say that through all of the negativity, and we can talk about more bad things next week.
You have to do at least one. I did a lot. You got to do at least one.
I don't. They're going to be here next week. We can still talk about them. I don't want to rush it.
Okay.
So,
sorry for bogarting all the things.
No, I really enjoyed listening to you
cry like a fucking bitch.
I was going to say emotionally puke, but
That's kind of my jam. So welcome to the podcast where I emotionally puke about things and he says really eloquent, wonderful things in response.
I mean, you only feel that way because I'm not you. If I was you, you would think that I was terrible. So,
no, I think you're... When have I not thought you were great?
If I was you, then you would hate me.
I'm lost now. So fuck you.
Okay. What I was going to say is that even though the world is shitty and everywhere I look, I don't understand anything that I see, I feel like I'm close to something. Closer to something than I've ever been in my entire life. And I don't know what that something is. It's not a truth. It's not a feeling. It's something that I can't really describe yet because I'm not there. But what I can say is that that thing, or at least my believing in that thing, this is starting to sound like religion. Jesus Christ.
Can you see how hard I'm trying not to be sarcastic right now? Like, I'm literally biting my tongue over here.
Hold on. Maybe I should stop.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought. I do want you to come to completion. It's good for you.
All I'm saying is that I feel something, a change in myself that's coming. And it's closer.
I'm trying so hard. It's so hard.
It's closer than it's ever been before. And it. Okay.
Sorry. I have had so many puberty jokes running through my brain as you're talking about that. I'm a piece of shit. I am so sorry.
No, you're good. I don't know how to say it, but I'll explain it as it comes.
It just sounds like you're getting Harry's. Like, I don't know what to do here.
I'm getting hair like in really you're weird
hitting,
places.
You're hitting some weird emotional puberty or like spiritual puberty, and I'm not how sure else how to describe it.
Okay. Think about it like this. You've lived your life for 35 years.
Thankfully, yes.
I'm at 34. I'll be at 35 shortly. And you've always felt like there's not just one thing missing. Like, I can probably speak for you in saying that you felt like there's a lot of things missing. Mm. Right? Mm. I felt that way forever. And I chased it. I tried to, you know, go on adventures to find out what that thing or things might be. And I think that I'm close to it. I don't know that I'm close to finding out what it is, but I'm close and relative. It's kind of like if you're in a house and you're in a room with no doors, kind of like The Sims.
Here we go with another video game reference. Bring it full circle.
Yeah, you're in a house with no doors. The thing that you have been looking for is in a room. You don't know that it's there,
but it's right fucking there.
Yeah. And you can kind of feel it because you're a sensitive person.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know. That's all I got.
Your door is forming, much like balls drop.
Fuck you. You want to see how far my balls have dropped?
Nope, really don't.
Okay. I like it. Mm-hmm. It's a good analogy.
I had to
lighten up the mood.
Yeah.
All right.
I try. It's all I can do.
So next week, we have probably more
sad shit.
More bad stuff. Yeah, so let's be honest. We're
I have more.
Probably,
that was just two.
Yeah. We're probably not going to do... I don't think we have any good things on the agenda other than like...
I'm seeing Rent on Saturday.
Air 5.
Boop. Achsh,
not with me. She's not seeing Rent with me.
No. Jeff Mecca.
So I will be watching Josh play Zelda at some point.
Yes.
In general hangoutery.
Yes.
Although I'm not sure what...
I'll make sure you guys have snackles.
I may be there. It may be Friday when you're there. It may be.
I'm going to make enchiladas so you can eat some.
Ooh. Yeah, I have things that I've been invited to, but I haven't committed to anything. The thing that
I
really want to do is just hang out and play Zelda.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'll be right there with you, man. I will do some playing of Zelda as well, only watching.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So this has been your
weekly visitation of us or some shit. Yeah, that was bad. You should probably do something. This is why you do this part. I suck.
No, I meant say that again except better.
Yeah, no, I got nothing.
All right, until next time.
Bye.